Okay. So I told you I'm sitting on my patio and I have friends. And it's so fun that I have friends on my patio. That is enough for the day that there are people sitting with me. Because today we're telling more stories. We're continuing this series of stories again that we started last summer and are bringing back this summer. So again, the idea for this stories series was rooted in Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6. And that says this: "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue that work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." The story of the Bible is this overarching story of restoration and of reconciliation. God has begun that work of redemption, of restoring wholeness to all of creation, of bringing shalom. The good creation and the rightly ordered relationships that we read about in Genesis 1 will be fully realized. That is God's promise to us here. God is redeeming us and all of creation, but God doesn't just do this in some mystical, magical way. Nope, God equips us to do that work. It is collaborative, it is creative, and we are all participants in one way or another. So that's why we want to tell stories here, to take a moment to slow down and notice where God is at work in others so that we can have fresh eyes to see where God is at work in us. If nothing else, COVID has given us a gift of slowing down, right? Of having space to notice things that we didn't notice before, or maybe we noticed them out of the side of our eyes but didn't stop to pay attention. Some of those things are really beautiful, like flowers blooming and squirrels playing in the trees or whatever in nature that you have noticed. But our eyes have also started to see more clearly some of the injustices of our world. And when we start to notice those things, we maybe start to wonder what we can do about it, right? And it's easy to get stuck in how big it is and how heavy it is and get stuck and wonder, well, what can I do? It all just seems like too much. But hopefully, by telling some stories, we'll be inspired to take one step forward because we'll hear about some young women who have been taking steps forward. Last week, we heard the Frangs talk about traveling halfway around the world to Uganda. Their lives were changed by that trip because their eyes were opened to see people differently. They learned about deep, uninhibited joy from women who have suffered so much and are living in conditions that we would consider pretty awful, but yet there is joy and it is real. And so they started to learn how to be in relationship with these women, right? Not simply just going to help and to do things for them, but actually live in relationship, this mutual back and forth relationship. So today we turn our eyes to the hyperlocal. Not across the world, but here in Grand Rapids. Today, we're going to hear from more young women. These young women are teaching us and leading us. And it doesn't involve traveling halfway across the world. This story is here in their school and in their community. So, Tara Workman and Sophia Ferenzi are sitting across the table from me, more than 6 feet, I promise. And they are going to tell us today about their journey into the work of climate justice. So, first of all, ladies, thank you for being courageous and brave and sitting in front of a computer screen and telling your story today. We are so excited to hear what God has been doing in your lives through this. So, let's start with this. How did the journey start for you? What was the thing that inspired this passion?
Yeah, I think it started last year when we were in seventh grade. We started to watch like a bunch of documentaries in our science class about climate change or just other environmental issues. And that was kind of like, I guess, a wake up call for both of us. That was first when I started to think that, you know, this was something I really wanted to do something about. But at that time, you know, climate change felt like so big, and it was really hard to imagine like doing anything about it and imagine like what I could do about it. That was like, I remember for like many months last year, that was the thing that would keep me awake at night, was just thinking about what in the world I was gonna do about it. But then last fall, there was a climate strike here in Grand Rapids on September 20. And I was not at this climate strike, but I heard about it. And it was really interesting because it was like a really different world of climate activism. I hadn't ever heard of like climate strikes before. Everything I'd heard about was like just sustainability and recycling and everything. And so this was a lot more interesting to me. And I reached out to someone who I knew had been involved with that climate strike, and I was pointed toward an organization called Sunrise Movement. And then there's a local hub here in Grand Rapids, so I just reached out to them, and then I went to a meeting, and then that
kind of made me go.
Yeah.
She was just like, hey, I'm going to a meeting and you have to come because I don't want to go alone. And I was like, okay. But yeah. I mean, I kind of wanted to go because like this idea of climate justice was different than what I'd heard. Climate justice is like looking at solving the climate crisis as a social issue and something that's completely and deeply intertwined with other social issues. And it's a social movement that works with people to change society and our government and our economy and stuff like that. So I was excited to get involved because that seemed like something that was more doable for me.
Okay, so I love that you just drag your friends along. There's something important to me, so I need somebody to come along,
right?
It's what we all do. It's how we learn about things from each other. I love that. So what do you actually do? Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you do?
Yeah, when I first got involved, that was right when we were in the middle of planning for our next climate strike, which was last December. And so we did a lot of outreach, a lot of recruitment, that sort of thing to that. And then I ended up speaking at that climate strike also. And that's kind of a lot of what we're doing. It's a lot of direct action. It's a lot of climate strikes. It's a lot of Sunrise Movement is built around two pillars, people power and then political power. So we do work around building people power, and that's what those like strikes and direct actions are for, and a lot of like training people. And then political power, our goal is to translate that people power into political power. So we do that through phone banking and postcarding and other
working with like political campaigns.
Yeah, working with other political campaigns. It's a lot of Zoom meetings.
Especially now because of COVID, right? So there would have been, I'm assuming there would have been another climate strike this fall.
There was going to be one in April.
Yeah, it was the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, so we were going to do a climate strike then, and we were also planning for a climate strike right after the general election, and I don't know what the plans are for that.
Most likely.
Probably not happening, right?
Probably not happening, right?
So a lot of your work went
from organizing events to information, phone banking, and sending out postcards, that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have anything to add there?
Not really.
Awesome. So awesome. Can you talk a little bit about a favorite moment? Do you each have one?
I mean, looking back, mine is probably before we went to the December climate strike. We went with our whole class, our whole grade. And we did an art build before that. And so we did, we made posters and we all worked together. I just remember everyone was really excited to be going to this strike. And it was just, it was kind of like, oh, this is something that it's not only necessary, but it's also fun. And it's something that people care about. So
yeah, I think the climate strike was definitely one of my favorite moments. I remember Sophia had was like coming down with art class during the climate strike, but I had been there beforehand because I was speaking and helping set up and everything. And I remember we had like most of the people were already there, but then our class came like a couple minutes late, and we had a pretty big crowd already, but then there was this group of like 60 students. And I just remember that moment when they all like came up over that hill. And everyone like turned to look at it. And that was, I think, one of the first moments that I was really aware of like my power as an organizer, because that was like all us. And they were carrying the signs from that art build that we organized. And that was a really powerful moment for me too.
So there was something that you maybe considered a small step, right? Then you saw the effects of this. You saw the magnitude of it. That's really beautiful to have a visual image of that, right? So can you talk a little bit about how you see this work through the lens of your faith, right? Why should this matter to people of faith? This is often in our society, there are so many things that are these social justice issues and separate from faith. Can you talk a little bit about how you see those things intertwined?
I mean, I think we're called as people of faith to be good stewards of our environment and to care for creation and also to care for the people around us and to look out for the other. And that's a lot of what this is. It's taking care of what we've been given of the other people around us. So, I mean, I think that's a lot of what faith is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me personally, when I first started to get involved with it, it was definitely something I felt very called into doing. And now that I'm doing a lot of this work, it's just like so fun and really, really fulfilling work. And yeah, I feel like for me, it's less about that and more that this is just like where I feel like I'm supposed to be.
I think you shared with me the other day when we were talking. Do you have it? Are you getting to the quote?
I don't know if I'm going to remember word for it, but yeah, I saw a quote somewhere. It was like, the place where God calls you is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And that kind of sums it up for me.
Yeah. So it's this work of God's spirit in you that gave you a passion, right? To see things, like you said earlier, to see things with different eyes. So, that's a beautiful example of that. So what would you say, you've been around the branch for a good long time, both of you. How does the work that you were doing kind of intersects with some of the work that the branch has done in the recent years as well?
So I've seen the branch definitely be involved in a lot of justice work. And I think most recently we've seen it in like racial justice work, like even in just the past couple of months. And racial justice is like really, really closely intertwined with climate justice. And we see this especially through like environmental racism, which is just like the way that our society is structured, places marginalized communities in places that are much more vulnerable to the climate crisis. So they're, that means like they're really, their proximity to like fossil fuel plants and oil and gas infrastructure, or even just like their infrastructure in the face of natural disasters and things like that. Those marginalized communities are literally on the front lines of the climate crisis. And so really all of our solutions to climate change have to have like a lens of environmental justice, and it has to prioritize those frontline communities. And so climate justice work is racial justice work, and it's really, really closely intertwined.
Yeah, I mean, you said that pretty well.
That was your affirmation from your friend. Good. Is there anything else? I have a couple of more questions to kind of wrap this up, but is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you all wanted to, anything else I didn't ask you, right, that you didn't cover here?
I mean, we can talk about how people can support, we can talk about hope, yeah.
Yep, we'll do that too. So, okay, let's do that. So how can we, as a community of faith, support the two of you in the work that you are doing?
I mean, we don't want to say, like, you should recycle more and you should take shorter showers. I mean, those are definitely things you should do, but that's not going to solve this crisis. This is it's a systemic crisis that, I mean, the actions of individual people aren't going to change. So, I mean, working as a community and with our community around this place and figuring out how we can help the whole community be more sustainable. Working as a community, we can provide information about events that you can go to and movements you can join. So stuff like that.
And when you're talking about community, you're not just talking about the branch. No, you're talking about like the community that we're in.
Yeah. Like this neighborhood, this area.
Yeah, one other thing, a specific thing, it's just voting. We've probably heard that a lot recently, but you know, in the end, our solution to climate change, it needs to be on a big structural scale, and we need to really change things on a really big scale, and that's going to come through the government, the federal government, but also the state government and the local government. And so voting is super important,
and being mindful of who we're voting for and doing research.
Right, how important that is to always do research on who we're voting for, right? My air conditioner just kicked on. Sorry if that got really loud for a second. And I know that Tara and Sophia would be more than happy to go into details with some of you on an individual basis if you'd like to hear more about some of the specifics of candidates that they support and that they know. They'd be happy to do that. But we won't do that here. All right. What gives you hope? I'd love to end with that. Let's end on the hope, right?
I mean, for me, it's looking at this movement and seeing the excitement and the joy, and also it's less of a fight to prove our existence. There's less of that debate. Is climate change real? Is it something we need to do something about? And more of how can we change this? How can we fix this? And what do we need to do to fix this? So it's less of, I mean, it's less of a debate and more of a movement to a, we have a specific destination now. And so that's, I mean, that's how movements succeed.
So you've seen steps, you've seen progress, yeah. Right? And that gives you hope that there are these steps. It's not solved yet, but that there's steps toward that. Yeah,
I spend a lot of my time in like young social movements. That's like what I'm doing. And so when I'm on like these Zoom calls with hundreds of people from across the country, or I'm on these giant phone banks and we're just like seeing everyone, seeing all the voters, and like we always share like whenever we get a voter so we can see that, and there's just so much energy and so much excitement, and really I think it's kind of impossible to be in that environment and not have hope, Yeah, it's been a really big change from before I was in involved in movement work and afterwards, just because you feel so much less alone, and it feels like we're actually accomplishing something. That definitely gives me hope. And I guess one more thing, there's a quote that I really like from a book, and it was talking about revolution, and it says, revolution is inevitable in retrospect, but unprecedented and all but impossible to imagine ahead of time. And I guess that's really helpful for me when I'm just like framing it in my head, when it feels like this really impossible issue to solve, and it feels so vague. Just that, like, it's a moment in history and we're doing something that needs to be done. You know, there's just so much going on. It's so exciting to be a part of.
And that goes back too to that scripture passage we read first, right? That God has begun a good work. And God promises that work is going to be finished. And that you're right in the middle of it. And you are taking steps toward restoration of creation. And that's good, and that's important work. And let's not forget, you are going into ninth grade, right? You are taking big steps at such a young age. And that, to me, that is incredibly inspiring. You two give me hope. Because of what you said, there's so many young people involved in this work, and so many young people involved in racial equity work and climate justice work and all of these things that matter to the heart of God. So that gives me hope. So thank you for being hope for us today. Thank you for sharing your hearts and your passions about this. Last chance. Anything else? Did you say all you wanted to say? Mm-hmm. Love it. Good. All right. So we don't want to just stop with hearing a story, right? We want to start to try and move that to what did we hear? Whether they intend to do this or not. Sophia and Tara were following Jesus' teaching on the Mount, where he said, seek first the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is one of restoration. God's kingdom is one where all people are restored to right relationships with creation, with each other, and with God. God's kingdom sees the marginalized and the oppressed and does something about it to seek justice and wholeness for all people and creation. That is the work of the Spirit in these young women. And that same Spirit is at work in all of us, even those of us who aren't quite so young anymore. And that Spirit is urging us to see God's kingdom more fully realized in the places where we work and we live. These two have done work in their schools, and they've done work in their communities, and we all can do that as well. So Tara's quote earlier about where your passion meets the needs of the world and the hurts of the world, we all have those spaces, right? And that is the Spirit at work in each and every one of us. So what might God's Spirit be prompting in you today? We're going to take just a couple of minutes for some reflection. I'll put a couple of questions on your screen here about if you need some prompts to think about it. But otherwise, just what did you notice about Tara and Sophia's story? What sticks out to you? Be curious about why those are the things that are sticking out to you. What might God's Spirit be prompting you to do today? What did you notice? What is a step that you can take? As you saw, small steps, when everybody takes a small step, big things can happen. So let me pray, and then we'll take just a couple of minutes for some quiet reflection. That's when you want to grab that pen and paper if you have it, but let's pray first. Oh, great love, Thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and all beings. Help us to become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts in these moments, God, that we may see your kingdom in new eyes. Amen.